Help him.
Exodus chapter number 14. Concerning what our pastor said about revival in your place and getting in, it's kind of like on a cruise. A man was on a cruise and he paid the passage and time to eat. And somebody said, "Well, I'm going to the dining room." He said, "Well, I can't do that." Said, "I brought my own, packed my own lunch." So he went to his room and ate peanut butter crackers while everybody else was eating steak in the dining room. So the next day, he said, "Well, we're going to eat." He said, "I'm going to my room and brought my lunch." He said, "Don't you know that it was paid for in the ticket that was bought?"
Amen. Yeah.
So why eat peanut butter and crackers in the house of God when you feed on the steak?
Amen.
That's good. Amen.
Right.
So this week, don't sit back there and pack your lunch and bring it and eat peanut butter crackers when God's got steaks.
Amen.
I like hot dogs. I can eat as many as any. I think somebody else likes hot dogs too. Been known to eat five at a time, amen. All the way down to my toes. But if somebody had set before me a hot dog and a steak, the hot dogs is next time. I'm going to eat the steak.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God's a steak God. He don't feed you hot dogs. He'll feed you steak every time. But you've got to be hungry and ready to eat. And be aware that it's already paid for.
Amen.
It won't cost you a thing.
Amen.
Exodus chapter number 14. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Milby preach. I hadn't heard him, I don't know, 5, 6 years, maybe more. Amen. First time God ever put the fire of preaching in me, and I'm not talking about the call of preach, but the fire. I'm talking about that fire that burns when you're in the pulpit. I sat under Brother Milby up in Lenore, North Carolina. Never heard a man like Brother Milby. Never heard anybody that had the anointing on him like that man. And he put something in me that night that's never got out of me. Amen. I like it. Amen. Don't want to get rid of it. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 21. If you would, let's stand tonight in honor of God's Word. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 21. Very familiar story. And I hope with the help of God tonight I'll bring out some things that maybe we haven't seen before. And Moses struck out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Appreciate you standing tonight. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, if God will allow me and you will allow me and hear me tonight, on the subject of when God breathes. when God breathes. The Word of God is not a stranger to the breath of God. It's not a stranger to the wind of God, which is the wind of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not a stranger to the wind of God. Say amen. About 2 weeks ago, God blew into this church in morning service. Say amen. And I appreciate what He did. I think a little bit of that wind's still here. I'd like to see a little bit more of it blow in. Amen. One of the marks and distinctions of when the wind blows is that you'll feel helpless as a child of God. I like that feeling. Amen. A lot of people don't because they're power hungry. But I like that feeling. I feel helpless. I ain't got anything I can do except look to God. Thank God. So He blew a wind through this place, and that's what we're looking at. God breathed on West Side 2 Sundays ago. I appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate I was here. Didn't have to hear about it. I've heard about a lot of them, but that don't help me. Amen. I like to get in them. So the Word of God is no stranger to references and instances concerning the breath or the wind of the Holy Ghost. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life. I don't know if you've ever given much thought to that, and I can't spend a lot of time on it, but the Bible says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. I can visualize that scene that day when God said, I'm going to make man. Amen. And He scooped up a scoop of dirt off of the ground that He had created, and He began to mold the shape of a man. The Bible says that He made Adam in the image of God. You might argue with me, but that's all right. Well, wait till we get to heaven and let God straighten it out. Amen. But I believe He began to form that image of man with the dust of the ground. Amen. I believe He said, well, He needs two eyes, and He puts two eyes in His head. I believe He said He needs a mouth, and He took His finger and made an opening right where the mouth is going to be. I believe He said He needs a nose, and He made two holes where His nose is going to be. I believe He said He needs arms, and needs legs, and needs feet, and God made them out of the dust of the earth. Amen. But then comes the glorious part. I believe when God bent down, the Bible says He breathed in Adam the breath of life. Amen. I believe, thank God, God put His mouth on that little opening in Adam in that dust and breathed the breath of life. And the first time that Adam ever saw anything, he saw God.
Amen.
Now, you might disagree with me. That's all right. It used to be 50 cents a cup of coffee at McDonald's, and that's $1.15, and we'll talk it over. But I like it. Amen. Amen. So, in Ezekiel chapter 37, we're all familiar with that, where God told Ezekiel, said, prophesy unto the wind. I never saw that till this week, but God told Ezekiel, He said, prophesy unto the wind. What is the wind? That's the breath of God. In other words, God said, Ezekiel, you prophesy unto me. If you begin to ask the question, can these bones live again? And God said, surely they can. And the Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 37 that God breathed new life into those bones, and they lived again as a mighty army. Amen. Bible's not a stranger to the breath of God. And then in Job said, the breath of the Almighty hath given us life. Amen. I want to tell you, you couldn't breathe a lick without God. You couldn't have got out of bed this morning and breathed the first lick without God. You couldn't ever breathe when you come out of the womb of your mother without God. I'm telling you, God owns the breath of life. He ain't lent it to anybody. And hey, I want to throw something else out, and I might be wrong, but don't believe I am. I want to tell you, sometimes the heart stops and they shock you and they say, you bring you back to life. I don't agree with that. I'm going to tell you, when God takes the breath of life out of you, they can shock you with an atom bomb and you won't come back. Life is in the breath of God. Amen, preacher. In John chapter 20, verse 22, John said, Jesus came into the midst of the disciples, and He breathed on them, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 where the disciples were all gathered, the apostles were all gathered together in the upper room, and they were a ragtag group, amen. I mean, they felt like everything was defeating them, and they felt like it was all over. And the Bible said there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, amen. That was the breath of the Holy Ghost as He moved from heaven to earth, amen. The Bible is not a stranger to the breath of God. God's people hadn't ought to be a stranger to it either. So we see, number one, the power of God's breath caused separation. I want to tell you, every time the breath of God or God breathes on something or something, something will happen. It'll not be the same. The three things that will happen when God breathes on something, number one, is separation. Amen. If you're in the midst of a service where God breathes on that service, I want to say that it'll cause you to separate. It'll cause you to see some things in your life that you need to get out of your life. It'll cause you to see some things in your life that's hindering you from being what God. It'll cause you to separate from some things. It'll also stabilize some things. Amen. Anytime God breathes on a service, it's always those that maybe a little flimsy, a little wobbly, maybe had a rough time, maybe had a rough week, maybe had a problem they couldn't handle. By the way, I can't handle any of them, and you can't either. But, you know, we think sometimes we can. And those problems will get stabilized. I mean, you'll see that God can do it. You can't, but God can. Amen. Number one, it'll get separation. Number two, you get stabilization. But then number two, you have salvation.
Amen.
Every time. Never seen it any other way. If God really breathes on a service, and the people that are God's people accept that and begin to separate in their lives from the evil world and get stabilized, then there'll be those that are saved. I mean, those that are sinners that need to get saved.
Amen.
Hard for a sinner to get saved when they look at us and we're not any different than they are. I don't want to get on that, but that's the problem I got with this contemporary mess. It is, amen. They say, come as you are. I mean, if you want to come half naked, come half naked. If you want to come stinking, hadn't took a bath 3 years, come on. Say amen. It don't matter. It matters to me. It matters to God. God says when He saves a man, there's a change in that man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, glory to God. He may not be perfect, but he ain't what he used to be. He'll look different, he'll act different, he'll smell different, amen. I got a problem with that. So it makes you mad, sure does. I said this morning, I'll say it again. If they're going to do that, let them do it. Just take God off of it. Get God out of it, because God ain't in it anyway. They're trying to market God. They're trying to merchandise God. Amen. That's all Joel Osteen's about. Amen. That's all he's about. He's a money man. He's making millions off of the idiocy of people who think that God is a social God.
That's right.
Amen. Where'd that come from?
That's right.
It was a rabbit. He jumped. I chased him. Amen.
Amen.
Power of God's breath called separation. Notice, first of all, that this separation in the scripture I read was overwhelming. In 21, verse 21, God said, the Bible said, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. I can take you through the Word of God and show you every time that it speaks of the east wind, it refers to God.
Amen.
He's coming back out of the east. Did you know that? Amen. Well, I don't have time to do that, but I just want to say that to solidify what I'm saying. Word overwhelming means that the sea yielded all its natural abilities and all its natural powers to a greater power.
Amen.
Now, that's how you tell when the wind blows from God. You'll yield your power. Amen. You'll yield your natural abilities. Hallelujah. I feel the wind blowing in. I mean, glory to God. Hey, when God breathes and God blows His wind through the house of God, it'll not be anything that a man of God will do. It'll not be anything that the people will do. It'll be what God does. You'll yield your power to a greater power. And that's what the sea did. See, that sea mighty strong, preacher.
Sure is. You ever been down to the seashore?
Amen. I would say beach, but Christians only go to the... So they go to the seashore. You ever felt that seashore come in, those waves? You ever felt that power? That power could pull the sand right up under your feet. If you don't hold on, it'll jerk the feet out of you. A strong tie. There's power there. God give it power. But when God says, I'm a greater power, then that power has to yield to God's power. And I won't say God has saved you and you've got power as a child of God. But when God moves on the scene, you've got to yield your power to God's power. There's a separation. It was overwhelming. Amen. So when you say, give me a few instances that I will. The womb of a woman was made to conceive a child and to bear a child. Say amen. And it was made that she mates with a man in the bonds of marriage. Yep. And it produces a child. That's the natural way. That is the natural function of a woman and a man. That is the way God made her womb. Say amen. But when God breathed on the womb of the Virgin Mary, the womb said, something is wrong. I've always had to have a man to conceive. But there's no man involved in this one. And then the Holy Ghost breathed on that womb, and it gave up this natural ability and its natural power. Hallelujah to God. Yes. You say, give me another, and I sure will. Time is a prodigy that no man can tackle. You can't stop it. You can't speed it up. Time is locked in. Hallelujah. I feel that wind blowing in. But the book of Galatians said, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. You say, preacher, what happened? God Almighty breathed on the door of time. And the Bible says time got so full that it had to swing right at its door. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, climbed into time. Hallelujah. Eternity deposited itself into time. Hallelujah. So when God breathes on something, it'll cause separation. Separation was overwhelming, but it was also overthrowing. In verse 9, verse 10 of chapter 15, didn't read that, you turn to it. The enemy said, listen to this. You need to hear this. Because this is where the religious were. This is where the Joel Osteens and the Benny Hinns are today. Listen to this. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. Now the writer of Exodus is saying what God did. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Hallelujah. That's exactly where Joel Osteen's religion is going. That's where Benny Hinn's religion is going. That's where the contemporary mess is going. It's going to sink like lead in the waters of God's judgment. Hallelujah! I want to say, look at how many things. There's four I wills in that verse. There's three miles in that verse. But God's wind blew and destroyed every bit of it. False religion is not going to stand. Everything that Lord, watch this. You want to shout? Watch it. Everything that was a walkway of deliverance to the nation of Israel became a wall of death and destruction to the enemy. That's the way God is. His salvation is a free gift. But if you don't take it as a free gift, it'll send you to hell. The very same deliverance that will put you on the streets of gold will also put you in a fire of hell if you die. Amen. God don't have two devices. God got one. Accept it, heaven. Reject it, hell. So, what God did with the Red Sea is exactly what God's done with Calvary. Hallelujah. What He did with Calvary, what He did with the Red Sea, He parted the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to go through. Is that right? That's right.
and what he did at Calvary when the blood was shed. The blood is a witness against you tonight. The blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary is a witness and a testimony against you as a sinner tonight. And I want to say to you, but if you will believe, and if you will have faith, hallelujah, then God will part that blood and let you walk through on dry ground, amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So it was the breath of God, or the power of God's breath, caused separation. But the power, the purpose of His breath caused stabilization. Watch this. Verse 8, number chapter 15. And with a blast of His nostrils, one preacher said, God didn't even have to open His mouth to take care of this situation. That's what it said. He just blew through His nose. One blast of His nostrils, that the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. I'm going to tackle that word congealed tonight. I saw that this week, Brother Joel, and I had a feel. I was at the VA where I was supposed to mind my manners. Hallelujah, and I had myself a spell. All them fellows looking at me, I didn't care, because I found out what that word congealed meant. Hallelujah. Number one, He stabilized the passageway. Amen. I like this, because it lets me know that when I got saved, God had a passageway. It wasn't by hook or crook. It wasn't by gas. Amen. A lot of people are messed with a cutting and the wooden crowd, and they need to get over him with a can and the wheel crowd.
Amen.
But He stabilized the passageway. Notice that these people would have perished. They were up against a wall. They had nowhere to go. They didn't know where to go. They'd been in bondage for 400 years. All they knew was the mud pits and the miry clay of Egypt. All they knew was that whip on their back. They didn't know where to go. They were perished. Amen. But God stabilized the passageway. These people didn't have any time. They were up against the wall. Amen. Say, preacher, I got time to get saved. You don't have anything. They didn't have anything. You don't have anything. They didn't have any time. Didn't have any talents. Hey, these were land-faring people. These were people been in bondage for 400 years. These were people didn't know nothing but mud and straw. And here they had over 3 million people had to cross the Red Sea in one night.
Amen.
You say that's impossible. You got it. And it's impossible for you to be saved on your own.
Amen.
Impossible for you to get to heaven on your own.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they didn't have any time, didn't have any talents, but didn't have any tools either.
Amen.
All they had was their shoes that they watered in the mud for 400 years, and some old ox carts and some water buffalo. And, amen. And how the nails, how were they going to get across the Red Sea? You say, preacher, that was their problem. Well, your problem tonight, if you're here and you're lost, how are you going to get to heaven?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How are you going to make it?
Amen.
You say, well, I've got to work my way there. Just go ahead. I'm going to sit here and watch you.
Yeah.
Amen. Just go right ahead. If you got power to do it 20 years, you got power to do it now. By the way, if you got power to work your way there, you got the power to come back and tell me how you did it. But you ain't got power.
No,
hallelujah. You up against the wall. Just like they were. You see, they stabilized the passageway. Moses said when they saw that Red Sea and they knew they couldn't cross it, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what you've got to do if you're lost. That's exactly what you've got to do. You cannot work your way. You don't have time, by the way.
Right.
Amen. And you can't manufacture that way. You don't have the talents or the tools. So all you got to do is to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. God, I'm going to say, God blasted the waters with His breath. Number one, He with the blast of His nostrils, He blasted those waters. That meant that wind blasted those waters. But not only did He blast the waters, but He also built the waters with His breath. Watch this. And the waters were a wall under them on the right hand. And on the left. Now get a hold of that. A wall. Are you listening to me? And the floods, it said, and the floods stood upright. You know what it means to stand upright? That's what I'm doing right now. And the water was laying down. And here it is. Watch me. I'm laying down. And had to stand upright. And now I'm upright. And the waters were laying down. And God stood them up. Hallelujah. Shout! Glory to God. Hey, Brock, I'm on. I can't do that. He stood them up upright. Hallelujah. There's one more thing he did. That's where we get that word congealed. That word congealed means to make liquid into a solid. Say, what does that mean? That's when you make Jell-O. That's what you do. Jell-O's a liquid. Hey! And all of a sudden it's a solid. That's what God did to waters. Hallelujah to God! Are you listening to me tonight? He made those walls of water solid. I believe when they crossed the Red Sea, I don't believe even got a sprinkle of water over them. Glory to God. And if you're here and you are lost without God, I believe if God will save you, you won't even get a sprinkle of judgment on you as you pass through. Hallelujah. He congealed the water. It's in there. Argue with it if you want to. Still there though. Amen. God, not only did we see that the power of God's breath caused separation, and that the purpose of God's breath caused stabilization in the fact that He stabilized the passageway, but He also stabilized the people. This is one thing I like. A stable church is a strong church. A stable child of God is a strong child of God. We let these charismatics make us think it's all in that faith. Amen. If you got faith, you won't get cancer. If you got faith, you won't get sick. All the time they sneak over in the corner and blow their nose just like you do. Because they get sick just like you do. They're lying through their teeth. Amen. That's got nothing to do with faith. But I don't care who believes it or who presents it to me. I'm going to tell them they're wrong. He stabilized them. How did he do it? Verse 4 of chapter 14. Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you." That's a stable people. You don't have it. I don't have it. You see what I'm saying? It's not what we can do. It's who we trust. It's who we believe can do. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is believing before it happens that it's already happened. Are you listening to me? If you've got faith that God will revive us this week, then it'll happen. If it's in the will of God, I'm going to throw that in there. I believe it is. Amen. But I'm going to say, it's not faith is not walking off a cliff and saying, I dare you to save me. I'll pick up the pieces at the bottom of the cliff and bury you. You don't tempt God. And that's all this mess does. These people did not tempt God. They said, Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you." And here they were looking at a wall of a Red Sea. And here they were hearing the hoof prints of the horses and the soldiers behind them. And they'd been in bondage for 400 years. And they had no hope. Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you." And here we are tonight in this place in Salisbury, North Carolina. About 70 people maybe. And the world is against you tonight. Barack Obama is against you tonight. The world is against what we are. But I say, the Lord will fight for you.
Amen.
So, not only did he become their fierce fighter, but he could become their firm foundation. Verse 29 of chapter 14, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea." Hallelujah. I like that. He's the foundation. He's your foundation. Not only did he become the fierce fighter, firm foundation, but he become the foremost freedom. Verse 13 said, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed." I want to tell you something tonight. Get a hold of this. God did not redeem them in Egypt. He redeemed them out of Egypt.
Amen.
I'm going to show you something else in a little bit too. If you got any shouting, you'll shout. But I will say that God does not redeem you in your sins. He redeems you out of your sins. He did not redeem them and give them liberty and freedom in Egypt. He parted the Red Sea and He brought them out of Egypt. That's salvation. Not only do we see the power of His breath caused separation And the purpose of his breath calls stabilization. But number three, the promise of his breath calls salvation. Amen. Salvation from bondage, number one. Sin is bondage. It is. It's bondage. Amen. It's bondage after you get saved. Amen. It is. You don't want to sin. Now, the only difference between you and a person that's lost is that when you get saved, you don't quit sinning, but you quit wanting to sin. I don't want to sin, but I do. Amen. Say you set your other hat and don't admit that. Why? I'm still a man. I've still got this flesh that's on me. This flesh has not been redeemed. This flesh is going back to the dust of the earth. This flesh is going to get a new glorified body, which is redeemed. Hallelujah. But until then, I still fight that battle with flesh, and you do too. So let's just not say we're just as holy as we think we are. It'd do us good every now and then just say, I ain't nothing but an old rotten piece of flesh. Hallelujah. Salvation from bondage. God told Moses at the burning bush, He said, I have heard. He said, I've heard the cries of my people. Woo! God always hears the cry and heeds to the cry of desperation. That's why He hears that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the cry of desperation. That's the cry of an individual that realizes the heat of hell is behind them. Amen. He said, I've heard the cries of my people. Hallelujah. Now He's delivered. He always delivers. Amen. What kind of bondage do they have? Don't one, He saved them in Egypt from the bondage of darkness. You know God always leave light on for you. Well, He did. I don't have time to preach on that, brother, but He did. He cut all lights out in Egypt. The Bible is sitting there. Read it. He cut out the lights. But the Bible said, lift the lights on the house of the children of Israel. Hallelujah to God. Out there in a dark world tonight, the lights are out. But here in the house of God, the light is on. And glory to God, you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be shouting over that. Hallelujah, that you got the light of God shining in here tonight. Hallelujah, the bondage of darkness, but He also delivers from bondage of death. Yeah, God breathed on Egypt. And the firstborn of every family died. But God said, if you'll take that blood and put it over the door and the lintel, amen, I'll pass over you. Hallelujah to God. That's what He does right now. When the devil goes to heaven, and the Bible says He goes every day making real and accusation against the children of God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, yeah, but the blood has been applied to the door of His soul. And I'm passing over Him.
Amen.
Darkness, death. But now God was going to save them from despair. Yes, 400 years of slavery. There wasn't anybody in that group that even knew what freedom even looked like or felt like. Hallelujah. That's right. It'd been 400 years. Figure 100 years to a generation, four generations since the last man stepped on free ground. Generation after generation had been born in the mud pit. The women probably give birth out there in the middle of the mud pit. Yeah, that's not too far a stretch of imagination. That's where they lived. In little old shanties and barely had enough to eat. That's the way sin is. Hallelujah. You're mired in the miry pits and in the miry clay. Amen. Sin only gives you enough to keep you alive. Amen. Hallelujah. God's fixing to save them from despair. God did not redeem them. As I said, He didn't redeem them in Egypt. He redeemed them out of Egypt. Now He's fixing to take them out of. He showed them He was God in Egypt, but He didn't redeem them in Egypt. Now He's going to take them out of Egypt. Hallelujah. He not only salvation from bondage, but salvation from burdens. No, they were burdened down. Here was a people that had never known anything except the mud pits and the miry clay. The cruel taskmasters, the pain of the whip as it popped on their backs, day after day after day. That's all they knew. That was their life. They had become accustomed to that. They probably had figured out after so long that we're going to live and die right here in this mud pit. There is no hope. There is no help. We absolutely have no hope and no help. And then the cry of God's people, when they got desperate down there in the mud pits, hallelujah. I mean, God heard that cry and He sent them a man called Moses. And Moses had the power of God on him. And Moses showed Pharaoh who is God, amen.
Yes.
Now they face the Red Sea. Yes, burdens. But I'd like to say that God breathed on their burdens. And God will breathe on your burdens. I like that song, my burdens were lifted at Calvary. Hallelujah. And they were. Thank God. So He also raised the burden of past life. Now watch this. Amen. You want something to shout about? Now it's shouting. When they crossed that Red Sea, Bible says that God buried everyone. He said He buried everyone of all. Everyone in the sea. The Egyptians. Now here it is. You want it? You want it? Are you ready for it? They couldn't go back to Egypt if they wanted to.
Right.
You say, preacher, some people tell me I'd be saved and lost again. They're all wet.
Amen.
They didn't part the Red Sea to go across. They couldn't part the Red Sea to go back from. Ain't that right?
Amen.
That's shouting ground glory to God. You didn't save yourself, and you can't save yourself. It's all gone. You ready to shout? Let me give you one more thing. There wasn't any Egypt to go back to. Because God buried all of Egypt in the sea. It said He buried every horseman. And, amen. He breathed out. He parted the Red Sea. Are you listening to me? And He inhaled and sucked the lug nuts right off the chariot wheels, and the wheels of the chariots came off. And they buried all the Egyptians in the sea. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you want to go back to that old life all you want to. But the old life ain't back there for you to go back to. He buried Egypt in the sea. There was no Egypt to go back to.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
A shouting ground. That means you can't get lost again.
Amen.
That means you're saved eternally.
Amen.
Show me in the Word of God when they ever went back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He saved them from bondage. He saved them from burdens. But He also saved them from the barriers. Here it is, I'm through. I read an archaeological report on it. It said there's two mountains on the side of the Red Sea right there where they encamped. And those mountains had 6,000 feet peaks. 6,000 feet. There was one mountain range on the right. There was one mountain range on the left. There's barriers. They couldn't go left. They couldn't go right. Behind them was a raging army. You read what He said, I'm going to destroy them. I will, I will, I will. You read what He said. And they had no defense. They weren't fighting people. They were mud people. And here was an army behind them. Mountain on this side, mountain on that side. What's this? And a big old Red Sea in front of them. And 3 million people in 12 hours to get across. Now I want to tell you, tell me how in the world they could have done it without God. Are you listening? How could they do it without God? They couldn't do it without God. He didn't remove anything.
Right.
Oh, glory to God.
Right.
He didn't remove a thing. He just parted what was already there. Hey, are you listening to me? And when God saves you, He doesn't remove anything. He ought to just parts the blood that you can go through on dry ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The same thing that delivered the children of Israel, the same judgment that God parted and let them go through, was the same judgment that swallowed the Egyptians whole.
That's right. That's right.
He got it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. So what I'm trying to say tonight is that it take a miracle for them to get out of Egypt alive. Would you? Is that right? It was a miracle. It was a miracle. It'll take a miracle for you to get out of this out of hell alive.
Amen.
But that is a miracle.
Yes, it is.
That's why a man can't work his way to heaven. That's not a miracle. You can't do it anyway, but that's not a miracle. That's why false religion won't work. It's not a miracle. It's got you in it. Anything that's got you in it has not got God in it.
Amen.
They were helpless. They were hopeless. God dried the ground to hold on. You think God don't have a firm foundation? I'm through. He dried the ground of the Red Sea. Have you ever walked on sea bottom? It's shifting sand. That's right. On God, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But Bible said God dried the ground that had been under that sea at that time for 2,000 years. And 3 million people walked across that dry ground. That's some hard ground, wouldn't you say that? That's some stout ground, wouldn't you say that? I'd say God was in that ground, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
It's all standing tonight, Brother Joy. You come.
Amen.